Turn your Bibles, will, to Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3, as we continue considering this book and going through it and seeing the content of it, boy, I tell you, there's some blessings and some jewels. Of course, all the Word of God is good and great and that. It's just at different times in our life, maybe it's so that different things stand out to us. In this chapter, I tried to consider, and as we go on forward, I want to highlight a few things. I want to cover the whole chapter, but just want to highlight a few things in each chapter. Some really pithy maxims, right? That's something, words that we can add to our vocabulary because of this. I don't think I'd ever used the word pithy before, but these are words put short, concise, to the point, man, they've got a punch with them. They tell us the truth. Bring up a subject, tell us the result. And of course, Solomon's warming up here in these chapters, these first handful of chapters. He's going to get down to it as not that this is not needful, but there's a lot of repetition, seems like. And the thing is, we need repetition. Say, well, Brother Jim, that sounds the same. Well, the Lord knows who He's talking to. We need it over and over again. I didn't look up the Scripture, but the Scripture does say that line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. So line upon line, precept upon precept, there's repetition that comes our way, and we get a little here and we get a little there. I think that latter part's talking about our retention, or at least my retention. But we need it. We need to hear it over and over again. You know, those that are froward, those that pursue a wicked way amongst mankind, they use the same concept, don't they? And especially at this time of the year, this time of the time in our country, we're looking at an election, and you'll hear politicians, whether it be true or whether it be false, they'll say it over and over and over again. And after time, there'll be those that believe even the false things. And so that is a concept that's there. Well, may the Lord help us we not listen to false things and wicked things, but that we hear the truth come at us over and over and over again, and to sink down in our hearts and find lodging within us. So here in Proverbs chapter 3, let's take a look. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. And so this is instruction of a father to his son, to his child. You know, and remembering this, we can bring this to us. Solomon is speaking to his children, but it is in the Word of God. And if you will, our Heavenly Father is speaking to us. He's speaking to us. That's the reason that this is included in the Scripture, and it's here. And so he says, my son, don't forget my law. And may we not forget the Word of God, His law. Let thine heart, when he speaks about the heart there, like we saw in chapter 2, verse 10, when wisdom entereth into thy heart. I mean, that's right down there in the middle of you. That's you. That's your soul, your heart. I do struggle to understand all those pieces and parts, the way that is amongst us. But the heart is speaking of down there, about the seat of the emotion, the who you are. Well, that's how far the Word of God needs to get to, not just on the surface. You know, the Jews, if we understand things correctly historically, you know, they would have maybe a hat that they would wear, and then have little scrolls of the Word of God in that, or they would have those frontlets and they would do that. They'd take little scrolls of the Word of God and put it at the doorpost. You know, they took what the Lord said in His Word literally, but in many, many cases missed what the Lord wanted to happen and desires and instructs us in. Spiritually, that word is to get in us. He's not talking about for me to build a real cool hat that's got these little clips so I can keep a little scripture of the Word of God here in front of my eyes, but that it be in us and it be ever before us. We're going to cross one of those scriptures here in this chapter. Let thine heart keep my commandments. Do you know the Word of God? Do you know what He says? If we don't know what He says, we are then ignorant. And it's one thing to be ignorant, but it's another to be willfully ignorant. Don't be willfully ignorant. Having heard it, want to forget it, and push it out. Oh, may the Lord help us that we don't go there, but we hear the word of God, we'll bring it to us, and it change our hearts, change our lives. He says here in verse number 2, for length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Isn't everybody looking for that? Length of days, long life, peace. Aren't people looking to be settled, just to be appeased, to be at rest, to know everything's going to be okay? That's what mankind's looking for. That's the hole in the void that is there within mankind. You know, peace. This word peace is the Jewish word shalom. You know, they say that. They say that in greeting one another or even in maybe in a salutation. They would say that. This is that word peace, rest, a friendship, kindness, peace. You know what? The law of the Lord and the commandment of the Lord will bring these to us. Verse number 3, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Okay, don't behave and don't operate in a way where mercy and truth go away. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind them about thy neck. Write them on the table of thine heart. There's that reference to the heart again, same as in verse number 1. So don't let mercy and truth forsake thee. Well, see, truth comes what? From the Word of God. And pursuing after the Lord and obeying the Lord, submitting to the Lord, and believing the Lord, seeking the Lord in repentance and faith. You know, he desires that men worship him. In Hebrews, I just happen to think of this scripture. And there in Hebrews chapter 11, the Lord seeks those that believe in him. That's what it says there. The Lord seeketh such to worship him. They that faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. It goes on to say in that chapter that we need to, he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he's the rewarder of them that diligently seek him. And there is a reference in the scripture, in the New Testament scriptures, that it says that God does seek those that will worship in truth. It's the Lord Jesus Christ speaking to the woman at the well. That's what it is. That the Lord seeks those that are wanting and desires to worship him in spirit and in truth. Is it our truth? No. We don't know any truth apart from God. But it's his truth. It's his word. And he is pleased with that. And we're not talking about any kind of work salvation or attaining justification with God. Remember, the good work of God always starts with his word. And we in and of ourselves are devoid of that word, that information, that truth. But then when it comes, we have it before us. We have it before us as mankind. And praise God, he sends his word and he sends his spirit. And praise God that he, with we that are here and saved, and I pray with you that are here and not saved, that the Lord is maybe working with you and dealing with you, but he sends his spirit and he shows us and he gives us a heart to believe that then opens our eyes and opens our ears, and we do hear and we do see that that is the truth and that is what we need to follow. And that he says, let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Bind these around thy neck. It comes from the word of God and his, write them on the table of thine heart. And verse number 4, so shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. Now, that's what it says, isn't it? Favor, graciousness, beauty, pleasantness. We'll find that by listening to what God says and following that, desiring that, we will find favor with God and with man. It's called, in the simple terms, it's called obedience. It's obedience. In the sight of God, understanding, that intelligence, that discretion, that knowledge, the prudence, to know how to take wisdom, to take knowledge and be able to use it well. If we bind mercy and truth to us, they're written on the table of our heart, we will find these things. Here in verse number 5, this is one of the highlight scriptures. This is a passage that's really impacted me, and that the Lord's caused me. I've been blessed to hear it and to take it to heart and know that it's there. Okay, I don't know how else to describe it. It's one that for me, not to discount the rest of the Word of God, but it's one that's got me. Okay, I'm not saying I follow it. I'm not saying I'm the example of it, but it's got weight. Okay, it's got weight. It's got impact. The Lord used this to work on me. In verse number 5, what's it say? Trust in the Lord, capital L, capital O, capital R, capital D, God Almighty, the Trinity, all of God that there is. Trust in the Lord, in Him. Trust in the Lord. What's it say? Trust in the Lord with all thine heart and lean not to thine own understanding. Don't even lean. If this is my understanding, don't even lean on it. But trust in the Lord. Trust in Him. And you know what? That's going to be manifested not by us saying, I trust in God. But you know what's going to be manifested day by day, hour by hour, moment by moment, when the issues and the decisions and the things of our life come along, and what we do, that's when it'll be manifested. It's going to be that way for all of us. Are we going to trust in the Lord? We need to trust in the Lord, and with all thine heart. What is you? That seed of the emotion, the soul, if you will, and lean not to thine own understanding. The Lord is to be preeminent. And these passages here in verse number 5 and following deal with this. Look at this. The heart we've talked about, this understanding is knowledge and wisdom. Don't trust in that of man. Says, well, you know, man, I know the Lord said this, but, you know, you look at it this way, and you look at it this way, and you look at it this way. I don't see any other choice. We got to do something. No, trust in the Lord. Remember, it's God that does the impossible. It's the Lord that does the impossible. Well, I've never known this to be any different than this, so I've got to do this. I know the Lord says this, but I've got to do this. You know what? We'll never see the Lord work a miracle if we don't step out by faith and believe Him what He gives us simply to do. We won't see it. We won't even know that it exists. We won't even know. If we don't step out in faith as the Lord's children, we won't see the miracle and the working of God and the impossible. That's when the Lord shines. That's when the Lord, if you will, gets up off of His seat and goes to work, is when things are impossible. Right? That's right. He saved us. How could we be saved? How could I be saved? But the Lord did the impossible, didn't He? We need to believe Him. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thy own understanding. And then here, verse number 6 is very much akin to it and connected with it in the Lord being preeminent, the preeminence of the Lord. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. In all thy ways acknowledge Him. I tell you what, that is true. What's this word acknowledge mean? You know, it's used a lot of different ways. It's talking about recognition. It's talking about the understanding that He is observing. It's talking about there being acquaintance there, that He does advise, that we will give an answer, that He does have an answer, that He does comprehend. We need to comprehend. In all thy ways, comprehend that the Lord is there in them. There's nothing too little for the Lord. There's nothing there. Synonyms are cunning, declare, diligent, discern, a lot of different usages of the word. I like this where it says here that a synonym or a definition of it is kinsfolk, kinsman, to cause to know. In all thy ways, let us know that we are related to God. We are related to the Father by adoption. We're related by the Son, by His shed blood. We're called children of God, and we're called friends by our Savior. In all thy ways acknowledge him. Every way. It doesn't say in all thy ways Monday through Friday acknowledge him. It doesn't say on all thy ways Sunday acknowledge him. It says all thy ways. So when our way, again, that decision that's before us to make, Lord, I know you're there, and I know you're interested in this. What wilt thou have me to do? That's what we need to do. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And there's a promise with this, isn't there? In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. But if we don't, we'll be left to our own path. We'll be left to our own way. And to whatever extent, for whatever the Lord has dialed up for you as his child, whatever extent that he has dialed up for me as his child, I don't know how else to say it. I guess I could say it a better way, but you know, he might let me go farther than you, but that still doesn't make it right. He might let some of us go farther than others before he starts spanking on us. But it doesn't make it right. But if we acknowledge him and all thy ways acknowledge him, he has promised he will direct our paths. And what do we know about the path? We know nothing about the path, do we? We don't. So what a great promise. Lord, what do you want in this? Reveal it to me. Show me. Work in me. In verse number 7, we go on. It says, and this is connected under this preeminence of the Lord, I believe. These are related scriptures. Be not wise in thine own eyes. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And before it said, lean not to thine own understanding. He says in verse number 5, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Don't be cunning and skillful and subtle in your own what makes sense. We'll get in trouble. We'll get in trouble as the children of God and our families and in the church if we do what always makes sense. We always need to seek the Lord's face. Seek the Lord's face in everything. So we always need to acknowledge him. See, we may purpose to have a meeting, and I think there's an element there that the Lord is pleased when we do seek to have times that we worship him and have extra times of worshiping him collectively as a church. But you know what? Just because that would be a good thing doesn't mean we need to leave the Lord out of it. We need to seek his face concerning it, don't we? And all things we need to acknowledge him. We need to not be wise in our own eyes. Well, we got the money that we need to support this thing. Well, we don't need to do it without praying about it, seeking the Lord's face, and really looking for to understand his leadership and his directive, do we? Just because we can doesn't mean we should. But if the Lord wants us to, we better, whether we think we can or not. Okay, you see? This is dealing about things of the leadership of the Lord. Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord. Have that reverence of him and depart from evil. Verse 8, you know what? In doing so, it'll be health to thy navel. We don't talk that way. You want health for your navel? We don't talk that way, do we? But it's talking about life. Talking about good things. A blessing, even in our bodies and in our life and our existence. It'll be marrow to thy bones. That word marrow is talking about a beverage or moisture, refreshment. Don't be wise. I don't need to be wise in my wisdom. I don't need to be not reverencing the Lord, not acknowledging him. But if we will, submit to him, seek him, desire him, fellowship with him, seek to know his leadership in things, we'll have refreshed bones. I'm getting older. I could use some refreshed bones. I hurt more than I used to. And of course, these are certainly talking spiritually, but it's not beyond the Lord to even work physically, is it? Verse number 9, honor the Lord with thy substance, with your wealth. what he gives you. Gives you little, honor him with that. It gives you much, honor him with that. Gives you something in between, honor him with that. That's what he's given you. That's what he's provided. He knows. He knows what we need. He knows what he's working. Honor the Lord with that. He goes on, and with the first fruits of all thine increase. That first fruits is talking about the front end, and it's talking about what we gain. It's talking about the gross. Not talking about the net. If you're in business and you got to spend 8 to make 10 and you got 2 left over, that's your increase. If you're working a job, everything you get paid is the increase. And this is the principle. I'm coming to believe that this is the base principle for giving to the Lord. The Lord, with the children of Israel, outlined the tenth, and Abraham did give the tithe, which speaks about the tenth. But you know, we only get started with that. That's just our reasonable service, the tenth. That's not having arrived at the goal. Because the Lord's given it all to us. And not only does it include our profit, which that does represent our time, but it is also talking about our time, talking about our talent, talking about our stuff. It's talking about that too. We need to honor the Lord in it. If we give it to be seen of our brothers and sisters, if we do it for the accolades of men, we're not honoring the Lord in it, are we? We lose our reward. But we do it without the left hand knowing what the right hand's doing. And we do it with no strings attached. And we do it with a cheerful heart. The Lord's well pleased with that. He loves his children being obedient. Honor the Lord with all thy substance. When with the first fruits of all thy increase, with all of our profit. A promise here, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. Is that the reason we should? No, it's to honor the Lord. This is just a byproduct. Okay? And then we need to, it's a sober understanding that, you know what, the Lord might have a greater blessing for you. The Lord may have a greater blessing, a closer fellowship for you or for me, by maybe taking us through times as his children where we don't have what we used to have. Because it's just in us to trust in our stuff, to trust in our accounts, to trust in our 401k, to trust in our houses and our lands and all that. It's just natural for us to do that. And so it may not be that your barns might be filled with plenty. It might not be that your presses will burst out with new wine in regards to the stuff, but it may be that the fellowship and the blessing and the reward from the Lord might be greater than just the things of this earth. We know the Lord is called. If we understand things historically, and if they are true, Nicodemus was a wealthy man, and after following the Lord, if we understand, if history, the history that comes down to us is correct, he died with very, very little. But did he not have the greatest blessing of all? He thought he was in the kingdom of God. The Lord saved him and became his Savior. Amen. I think he would be like Paul. He said, I count that as just refuse. And then we come here to the chastening of the Lord. He speaks about this here. My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord. Boy, this is another hard-hitting scripture, a true scripture, a scripture certainly to focus upon. Don't despise the chastening of the Lord. It will come. Child of God, it will come. It's going to come. We're not perfect. We're going to sin. We're going to err before our Father. We will do so. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. We can bring our repent to Him, to the Lord, and He will advocate for us. I died for Him. He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us even, right, as His children. But chastening will come. Then don't despise it. Don't be weary of the Lord's correction. Verse number 12, for whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, even as a father the son in whom He delighteth. We love our children. If you love our children, we need to correct our children. We need to. We're giving them the by, giving them the pass is not loving them. And the thing is we don't need to be cruel, but we need to be instructive. We need to point them in the right way. So then, in time, the Lord would get a hold of them and that they would understand that the authority that they are eternally answerable before is God Almighty. If we allow them to be a rebel in our house, if we allow them to be a rebel under our time, then will they see that they are accountable before God? That's the reason the Lord's given parents to children. We need to show them the right way. And the Lord will chasten us. This is where in Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 through 17, we'll not read all those verses, but that scripture there where the Apostle Paul in verses 5 and 6 of Hebrews 12 refers to this passage. And ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children? My son, despise not the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of Him. For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. That scourgeth gets pretty serious. Oh, but may we obey Him. May we acknowledge Him. May we honor in Him in everything. And then the joy of the Lord in verse number 13. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom. This is the same word. This word happy is the same word that in Psalms 32 verses 1 and 2, this Psalm of David, an instructive psalm, where it says, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven, whose sin is covered. Blessed is the man unto whom the Lord imputeth not iniquity, and in whose spirit there is no guile. In this passage, in these two verses of that chapter, Psalms 32, these words blessed that start these two verses is the same word as happy. You maybe remember hearing me refer that word blessed, it speaks about two things. It talks about our joy in the Lord, being happy in Him, and that blessedness is a result of having been touched by the Lord. If you do a study on that word, you're going to see that those two things are carried with that word blessed. Here in Proverbs 3, it's rendered as the word happy. Happy. We've been forgiven. The wisdom of God has been manifested in us and to the salvation of our soul. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom and the man that getteth the understanding of God. We've been freed, set at liberty to serve God. We got something to be rejoicing about. We've been freed. Does your salvation and does your walk with the Lord, does that drive you in the ground? Does that get you down? I know the effects on this flesh will get us down, but when you think about the Lord Jesus Christ dying for you on Calvary, giving His life a ransom for you, substituting His righteousness giving you His righteousness and taking on your sin, does that make you depressed? If it does, something's wrong. Something's wrong. If it makes us want to keep it to ourselves, something is wrong. Happy is the man that findeth the wisdom of the Lord, and the man that getteth understanding. Verse 14, for the merchandise, the profit, the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. Wisdom of the Lord, understanding of the Lord, and the one that finds those of the Lord, it's better than what you can make buying and trading and selling and improving and doing that value added thing. You hear that? We had that term in industry. You take materials and you add value to it and you make it to where you can sell it for more. Those things and the joy of the Lord in the touch of the Lord upon us, the joy that we have in His wisdom and understanding, it's more than what you can make even dealing with silver and gold. Anything in this world. You know why? Because they're eternal. And they're from God. Silver and gold, they're going to be burned up. This earth is going to be burned up. There's going to be a new heaven and a new earth. And gold is going to be used for pavement and on that new earth and in that new Jerusalem. Think about it. Think about it. The price of gold is just crazy right now. And it'll be used for pavement in that day. It goes on to say in verse number 15, she, wisdom and understanding, she is more precious than rubies. And all the things thou can desire are not to be compared. You think of it, it doesn't compare. Length of days are in her right hand, in wisdom's hand, and in her left hand, riches and honor. Wisdom yet will give back what men cling on to, but they hang on to that. Men hang on to the wealth rather than the wisdom and understanding of God. That's where it really is at. And these blessings of the Lord, not the stuff, but the blessedness and the wisdom of God. Length of days is in her right hand, verse 16, and in her left hand riches and honor. Verse 17, her ways are the ways of pleasantness, and all her paths are peace, peaceful. Peace with God. The world may be just raging at us, but we have the peace of the Lord. There's no greater blessing than that. She, wisdom, understanding, she is a tree of life, verse 18, to them that lay hold on her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. Wisdom. Not just a view of just what's going on in this life, but a view of eternal things. Seeing the big picture the way God sees it. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Amen? We've seen that. And we'll see it again. Here's an example in verse number 19 and 20 about the Lord. The Lord's use, the example of the Lord's work and His use of wisdom and understanding. Look at this. The Lord by wisdom hath founded the earth. Wow. He exercised some wisdom, didn't he? you do some research about some little bug. You can watch hours of documentary about one little creature and all the little things that they do. And that's just one creature. Take a look about how the body works. We talk about in conception and how children come about. It's amazing. It's amazing. That's just one aspect. By wisdom, the Lord made the earth. By understanding, He established the heavens. How is it that works? And is just spot on where it needs to be. But by wisdom and understanding, the Lord did so. By His knowledge, the depths are broken up. When it came time for the flood, when it comes time for this old earth to be burned up, The Lord knows just how to touch it, doesn't He? He knows how to bring it about. And He won't get His sweat on His brow. His blood pressure won't even get up, will it? He'll just do it. Matter of fact, He's just able to speak. Of course, that speaks of His power. But He knows how. When it came time for that flood to come about, the Lord did it. And the fountains of the deep were broken up. And that ark rose up and floated. It rained. It had never rained before. And the Lord knew just how to do that. When it comes time for this whole world to burn up, the Lord will just do it like that. If the Lord possesses and has used wisdom and understanding, shouldn't we? Shouldn't we desire it? Shouldn't we believe the Lord that His way is always good and always right, and let us not settle for second best of what this earth and what this world and this world system and way will give us? May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us to believe God and honor God. And then instruction from the Father to His Son again and His child. My Son, let not them, wisdom and understanding, depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom. We saw this in chapter 2, verse 7, that the Lord layeth up sound wisdom for the righteous. He layeth it up. He's stockpiling it. James says, you lack wisdom, go to the Lord. He won't chew you out for coming. He'll give it to you. He's liberal with it. And if we listen, see, it's one thing for the Lord to be liberal with it, and we say, no, I don't think that'll work. That won't work in my situation. Don't know my situation. My situation's different. Listen, the Lord said, and the Scripture says, there's nothing new under the sun. If I haven't gone through what you've gone through, somebody else surely has. And always remember this, the Lord Jesus Christ went through everything you and I have gone through. Every single thing. Everything. He knows it all. That's the reason that He is that high priest that cannot empathize with us. That's somebody that looks on and says, boy, I'm trying to feel like you feel going through what you're going through, but I've never done it, so I really don't know how you feel, but I feel I hurt for you, but I don't hurt like you hurt because I've never been there before. But you know what? The Lord Jesus Christ, He is able to sympathize. He's been there. Everything, you name it, He's gone through it. And we can go to Him. And we need to go to Him with our cares. Let not these depart from thine eyes. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. This sound wisdom is a little bit different. Understanding, enterprise. It's substance. It's good. It's hardy. It's steady. And then discretion. Knowing about the timing, and knowing about tact, and knowing about appropriateness. You know, we can take the good truth of the Word of God, and we can take it and use it in the wrong way and kill somebody with it. But with wisdom, with the discretion of the Lord, we can take somebody, we can tell them the truth, and we can help them with it. You can take the same stuff and do two different things. But don't let wisdom and understanding depart from the eyes. Keep them ever before us. Keep sound wisdom and discretion. The Lord lays up sound wisdom, as we mentioned. And then this discretion, the Proverbs are for the purpose in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1, and then going on to verse 4 to give subtlety to the simple and to the young man knowledge and discretion. Young men, young ladies, you need knowledge and discretion from the Lord. To be able to stand in the truth of God's Word and to believe Him. Goes on, tells us more about it. Verse 22, so shall they be. If keep them in front of your eyes, they'll be life to thy soul, grace to thy neck. Then shalt thou walk in the way of safety, and thy foot shall not stumble. And when thou liest down, some people have a problem with this. It's really hard for them to lay down and go to sleep. We live in a day that folks just can't handle it being quiet. It happens a lot. You go into houses, go into homes, and it just seems like it's more and more prevalent that the radio's on or the TV's on or something's on. People just can't stand to be still and know that God is God. The conscience gets to work when it's quiet. Brother Mike talked about the conscience some. When there's been truth put in there, when it's quiet, and those things come up. And so one of the downfalls of our day, with the blessing of the technology that we have, but the downfall or the bad thing about it is that there's always noise going on. We need to be still and know that God is God. We need to be still and be quiet that we can hear the still small voice of the Lord. We don't need something going on all the time. There'll be life to our soul, grace to our neck. We'll walk in the way of safety. When we lie down, verse 24, thou shalt not be afraid. Yea, thou shalt lie down, and thy sleep shall be sweet. Resting in the Lord. Lord, I'm in your hand. You know, we shouldn't be foolish in things. And like I've told you, if a tornado's coming or a storm's coming, and I know it, I'm going to go to the basement. But you know what? When I lay down tonight, I'm in the hand of God. I'm in the Lord's hand. I'm in Him. I'm not saying I'm the example. I've been blessed to this point in my life to understand that, you know, what can I do? What can I do? I can't do anything. And if I do get the alert, but we know that the Lord's hand is upon us. And then in verse 25, another very important verse that we need to get a hold of in this day, what the Lord says about fear: be not afraid of sudden fear, neither of the desolation of the wicked when it cometh. You know, in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 7, the scripture said, God has not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. And I find that interesting that it says that there. Has given us not given us the spirit of fear, but He has given us the spirit of power, of love, and of a sound mind. Don't be afraid of being afraid. I know some people that way. They make themselves sick. And as somebody said it, I can't remember who it was, but somebody said it here recently that I heard. I've been afraid, or I know people that have been afraid of what's going to happen many, 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 many more times, and much more time than the fear that they had over when something really did happen. Don't be afraid of that sudden fear, that instant fear that comes over some calamity. Rest in the Lord. Trust in the Lord. We all do get the phone calls. We get them. Things do happen. But don't borrow trouble and fret looking for something to happen. Some people have had crisis in their life, and we live in this day of all these reality shows and all that. It's sad, but it's destructive, and it's a bad state and shape to be in, but some people are comfortable in a state of crisis. That's no good. It's no good. And people get damaged. People get raised up on that. I know a gal that she was raised up with a father that was a drunk, and things in her life were getting better and getting good in a relationship she had with a man. But then when it started getting good and it started getting right, it just all turned around, and she went back to what she knew. She ended up having to do with a drunk. Why is that? Why does people do that? Well, people get damaged. But don't be afraid of sudden fear. And then when the wicked do have desolation come upon them, Don't be afraid of that. Because if you're the child of God, He's got you in the hollow of His hand. You know, He's got us in the hollow of His hand. Even though everything around us just might fall apart, the Lord's got us. And if we do die, we've got glory to gain, don't we? Amen? Don't be afraid of sudden fear. The Lord's not given us the spirit of fear, but He has given us the spirit of a sound mind. For the Lord shall be thy confidence. See, is He your confidence? Is He the strength and the power that's there holding you up? For the Lord shall be thy confidence and shall keep thy foot from being taken. Nothing will happen to us that the Lord doesn't allow or cause to come to pass. And if the Lord's in control of it, why should we fear? Why should we fear? Let us trust in the Lord. And then instruction from a father. Continuing here in verse 27. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due, when it is in the power of thine hand to do it. Say not unto thy neighbor, go and come again, and tomorrow I will give, when thou hast it by thee. You know, I've always thought about this from the standpoint of a charity situation, when there would be those that would be in need, that they have a need, and we say, well, tomorrow, another day, I got it right here by me, and I can help them out. James, I think, in that context, he speaks about it. He says, if your brother or sister be destitute and naked, and they don't have what they need for clothing and for food and all that, and you say, be ye warmed and filled, that's not representative of the Lord very well, is it? But in studying this and studying for the message tonight, I wonder also, and in looking at these words about this word, I think it's to whom it is due. That's one Hebrew word. It's talking about authority. Actually, the word is Baal, B-A-A-L, which is master. Well, as the children of God, we do need to be charitable. We do need to help those that are in need, especially those of the household of faith, and we need to be sensitive to that. But you know what? When we owe a debt, we need to pay it. When we have that which we owe and we've committed to, and they come for collection, we don't need to lie, do we? But we need to pay. We need to be honest. Honest and upright in our dealings, as the New Testament scriptures say it that way. We don't need to be a liar. Verse 29, devise not evil against thy neighbor, seeing he dwelleth securely by thee. Don't be aggravating just to be aggravating. Some people just cause trouble just to cause trouble. We don't need to be that way. Solomon says, strive not with that man without a cause, if he have done thee no harm. Don't fuss and argue and make an occasion against him when there's nothing there. Don't be that way. These are obvious things, aren't they, for the children of God. And then he ends up here, in this part, and envy not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. Envy not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. Tell you what, we're going to stop right there, and then we'll pick that up next time. The one that does wrong, the one that is cruel, you know, we've talked about those who are not meek. Talk about those who are not meek. Because they have power and ability, they just do what they can do to gratify themselves. You know, look, consider it this way. This just occurred to me. Satan was found, Lucifer was found guilty before God in lifting himself up in pride. He was cast to the earth. He had the power, and which has been evidenced, that he could mess with mankind. He could have chosen not to. But being an oppressor, he did. God didn't make him mess with mankind. He chose to, because he's not meek. He is going to the lake of fire, and it's been declared and known and certainly proclaimed by the Word of God. And so what's he doing? And the great working and plan of God and all those things that are hard for us to understand. But what he's doing is he's working to destroy as much as he can destroy. Child of God, children hearing the Father speak to us, Solomon speaking to his children. Don't envy the oppressor. And don't go after any of his ways. And there's a lot of ways that we can oppress people. May the Lord help us in that.